So as I started off by saying at the beginning of the service, we have entered into the season of Lent, the season in the church year leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. A season that we're called to enter into a time of reflection. Time when we're invited to look at our relationship with God. And we invite God to reveal to us areas in our lives that need some renovation. Over the next few weeks in our services, we're going to be reflecting on a number of scripture passages, stories in which people ask questions, stories which raise some questions in ourselves, stories which I believe will invite us into seeking something more. More depth in our relationship with God, more understanding as to who God is, more honesty as we explore some things about ourselves. And we're not necessarily going to come up with all the answers. We're not going to have all things nice and neatly packaged together. But we're going to ask some honest questions. And we're going to allow the questions to linger a bit within us. We're going to invite God to work in us, that we might continue to be shaped into the people that God created us to be. In this Lenten season, we're going to be journeying together through a series entitled Seeking. Honest questions for deeper faith. And it's my hope and prayer that these questions will invite each of us to ask even more questions. That they will spark in each of us a way to reflect more openly and honestly on God and on ourselves. And today we begin our series with the first question. And the first question is this: who will you listen to? Now, about 10 years ago or so, my dad noticed that there was a decline in his hearing. The first while, it wasn't very serious. He could generally hear okay, but then over time, it got progressively worse, and eventually he decided he needed to go to have his hearing tested, and he was told that he had to get hearing aids. And when he did, it made the world of difference. All of a sudden, he realized how bad his hearing had gotten. Because once he put the hearing aids on, just like that, he was able to hear things that he hadn't even realized that he'd been missing. But it hasn't been all great since Dad started wearing hearing aids. Sure, if he and I are together in a room and we're talking together and he's got his hearing aids on, we can have a great conversation. But there are times when Dad feels as though he may as well turn the hearing aids off because he hears too much and he can't make sense of anything. The place that he dislikes the most is when he goes to a restaurant. You see, when he's in a place like that and there are all sorts of conversations going on tables around, all of them are magnified. And Dad can't filter out who he's trying to listen to. It's hard to focus on just one voice when all the voices around are saying different things. You know, it's not only in restaurants, it's not only just those who wear hearing aids who struggle to filter voices. It's not just those people who have lost that auditory sense who struggle when it comes to know who or what to listen to. Every single one of us experience all sorts of voices around us. Every single one of us experience voices without, voices within. And sometimes it takes all we've got just to work out which ones are the ones to pay attention to and which ones are the ones to ignore. When it comes to your life, your relationship with God, and to who you are, who will you listen to? In both our readings this morning, we heard stories of people who heard different voices, voices which pulled in different directions. And I'd like us to spend some time with those stories and through them listen to what God might be wanting to say to us. Let's look first of all at that story we heard from the book of Genesis this morning. Story which seemingly seeks to explain the fall of humanity. Now, I've said before that stories at the beginning of Genesis aren't meant to be history lessons. The story of creation at the beginning of Genesis isn't as much a story about how the world came to be, but instead it's a story that reveals the who behind the story. The creation story, it's a story about God, God taking the initiative in bringing about creation. And it's not a story that's worth getting caught up in all the detail. The story of the fall is a similar story, one which seeks to explain the separation between people and God. How people, through their own choice, turned their backs on God and chose to go in another direction. How does the story unfold? Well, the story begins with God giving Adam a garden and telling Adam that he could have it all. That he could do whatever he wanted in that garden, except he couldn't eat from the fruit of the tree at the center of the garden, because if he did, he would surely die. And things start off wonderfully for Adam. Soon he's given a companion. Given Eve, and the two of them enjoy the beauty and the bounty of the garden. And life for them moves wonderfully. Until a serpent appears. And then all of a sudden, the assumptions that the man and the woman had held are quickly thrown into question. Now, I was interested in reading the other day that in the ancient world, snakes or serpents were often thought of as symbols of transformation. From snakes, there can be poison. But from snakes, there could also come medicine. What was the snake in the garden going to bring? What kind of transformation would occur in those who interacted with it? Would the snake bring a healing balm, giving life to those in the garden? Or would the snake bring with it poison, leading to death and destruction? And would the two in the garden, would they be able to tell the difference? As the story unfolds, we hear the interaction in verse 1. The serpent said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And you know the answer to that question. I mean, it's clear. God hadn't said that. God hadn't said that you can't eat from anything in the garden. In fact, God had said quite the opposite. And Eve was quick to point out that when she responded to the servant, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Then listen to how the serpent responded. "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In one sense, the serpent wasn't lying. By eating taking from that fruit, they were the man and the woman weren't all of a sudden going to fall over and die. But the serpent's words were just half-truths, weren't they? While a couple might not die physically, by doing what God told them not to do, the relationship they had with God would soon begin to decay. But that wasn't something that the man and the woman wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that which would please them. Who to listen to? The one who created them out of his love, or the one who suggested they could have what they wanted? Let's now turn our attention to our passage from Matthew's Jesus story that we heard read today. A story that takes place just before the start of Jesus' public ministry. Now, if you were with us a few weeks ago, you heard the start of Jesus' public ministry. But we skipped the part that came immediately before that. And it's that passage that we have before us today. However, to get a sense of that passage's context, we need to go back even just a little bit further, back to the baptism of Jesus. That was another story that we've heard fairly recently. Back earlier in January, we heard the story of Jesus' baptism. And if you remember that story, you'll remember how John the Baptist tried to deter Jesus from coming to him. He said, I need to be baptized by you, not you from me. And remember, Jesus' response was, let it be so for now. And then perhaps you'll remember what happened immediately after Jesus came out of the water. Matthew told us in chapter 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. That moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And then in the next verse, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. And then our passage today opened with these words. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I'm not really so sure on the choice of words there. I mean, can the Spirit of God lead us to temptation? I'm not so sure. But the Spirit certainly can allow us to go. Allow us to be in a place where we are free to make our own choices. And Jesus is there in the wilderness for 40 days. And in those 40 days, he eats no food. It's a time of abstinence, a time of discipline, a time when he seeks to focus his attention on God and get ready for what would be coming down the road, time of his ministry and his mission. Can you imagine going without food for 40 days? Can you imagine how hungry Jesus would have been? And so at the end of the 40 days, Jesus hears a voice whisper to him. Did Jesus actually see the devil lurking? Was there a hissing serpent before him? I don't know. It may only have been a whisper. A voice that suggested to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And the key word there is that word if. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Remember, at his baptism, Jesus had heard the voice of the Father declaring him to be his son. He knew who he was. But did he? He knew whose he was. But was he? What harm would it have been for him to put the belief to the test? I mean, after all, the Father wouldn't have wanted him to starve to death. What harm would it have been to turn the stones into bread? And yet notice Jesus' reply. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the tempter, the voice, offered another suggestion. Jesus was taken to the highest point of the temple, and the suggestion was, why not jump? And this time the tempter himself uses Jesus' own medicine. The tempter also quotes scripture. He says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you that they will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus knew that scripture to be true. There wasn't a doubt about it in his mind. And yet, was that what God was meaning? Was that what God was talking about? Or was there something else God was saying? All through the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus is faced with a choice. All through the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus can go one of two ways. Will he go the way of healing balm, or will he go the way of poison? I believe that by this time, Jesus already knew that he had gifts. He knew that the power of God dwelled within him. Would he use that power for parlor tricks? Or would he use it to heal? Would he use his glory for fame? Or would he use it to bring about a peace that passes understanding? Would he use his power, the power that resided in him, for dominion of the world? Or would he use that power for justice? Different voices whispering to him, to whom would Jesus listen? You know, when I think about the voices that come my way, I know that there have been many. And there have been many that I should have been filtering. Voices that I shouldn't have been paying attention to. There have been voices that have told me things about myself that were lies. Voices that told me things about my relationship with God and God's relationship to me that simply weren't true. You know, as a teenager, I remember feeling pretty insecure. I remember many times when I struggled when it came to self-confidence. At school, there were times when I wished I could kind of hide away. I wasn't one of the keeners in class who always raised their hand that had an answer. When a teacher asked a question, I would often look down, just hoping they wouldn't ask me, because I was afraid that if they did and I got it wrong, then others would laugh at me. And as I got older, it didn't get any better. You know, there are still many times when I lack self-confidence, and I just figure I should just keep my thoughts to myself. And probably you hearing me say this to you right now, it's hard to believe, since I've been saying things in this place for so many years. And yet there are times in my life when it's a constant battle. Recently, I was invited to preach at an upcoming diocesan event. And, you know, when I was asked, I hesitated. Because I heard a niggling voice whisper to me, Stephen, do you really think you have something to say? Mandy and I were walking the other day, and we happened to see, Mandy happened to see a student from her school. We stopped and chatted for a moment with him and his family, and then we went down on our way. The boy is in grade 9 now, and Mandy said to me, boy, he has changed since I first met him. In grade 7, he was constantly getting into trouble. As someone in grade 7, he saw himself in a particular way, and he lived out that way. But you know, over the past few years, it's as though he's listened to other voices, to people who saw other things in him, people who believed in him, and who knew that that grade 7 boy was not who he was made to be. What voices do you listen to? Do you frequently hear the voice of perhaps a critical parent who is always ready to point out your mistakes and very rarely, if ever, took the opportunity to give words of praise? What voices do you listen to when you seek out the news? What voices do you listen to when it comes to what you read or you pay attention to on social media? What needs to be filtered? What needs to be given more of your attention? What about when it comes to your relationship with God? When you think of God, what image comes to your mind? Do you have an image of one wagging their finger at you? Or perhaps you picture one bringing down a judge's gavel? Or is the image more of one with arms just wide open? Like a grandmother waiting at the airport on bended knee, ready to welcome her beloved grandchild? Do you see yourself primarily as a sinner in need of redemption, which we all are? Or do you see yourself primarily as a beloved child of a God who is overflowing with love? There are different voices. We need to ask ourselves, who will we listen to? A few weeks ago, during one of our services, we heard a story about a time when two of John the Baptist's disciples started tagging on behind Jesus. Remember what Jesus asked them? He said, "What do you want?" And upon their response, Jesus said, "Well, come along and see." Jesus knew that for those two would-be disciples, it was about seeking. And you know, in seeking, we need to be listening. In seeking, we need to be open. We need to be asking questions and not be too quick to fill in all the blanks with all the right answers, but to keep on wrestling with the questions. One of the things I love about our confirmation class with Austin is that the young people are allowed to ask questions. And they're not always readily given answers to those questions. Many years ago, when I led confirmation class, I often gave the young people the right answers. And yet one of the things I've discovered as I've grown in my relationship with God is that there is much more about God that I just don't know. And that's okay. Because God wants me to be continually seeking. Are you willing to seek? If we're going to seek, we need to be open. Open to the voice of the one who loves us. Open to the one who calls us. Open to the one who sees us, not as the people we have become, but rather as the beloved we were created to be. In the Garden of Eden, the man and the woman, they didn't make the right choice because they were listening to the wrong voice. In the wilderness, Jesus made the right choice because he knew the voice to which he should be listening. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew whose he was. And when we come to know that, then we're able to sift through the crud and the muck that so often clogs up our hearts. As we come to know that, as we come to know who we are and whose we are, so does transformation begin its work in us. So I'll leave you with some questions to think about this week. What voices are pulling you towards medicine or poison? What voices are pulling you towards medicine or poison? When have you used your words in such ways as either medicine or poison? What are you doing to come to recognize more clearly the voice of the one who made you and died for you? And what questions do you want to lay before God now? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you allow questions. We thank you that you don't always expect us to have all the answers at our fingertips. We thank you that you call us to seek. Lord, sometimes we just get all the voices around us all mixed up. Often we don't filter out the right ones. Often we make bad choices, we make mistakes. Help us to hear your voice more clearly. Give us the courage to filter out the noise, to set our hearts on you. Help us to let go of the lies about ourselves that have been whispered to us. Help us to see ourselves and others the way that you see us and the way you see them. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.